Welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of October 13th. I am your co-host, Michael Steele, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and jet-lagged Melissa Hansen.
I am still, man. Yeah. I have been for like 2 weeks. Yeah. So. Oh, well, it's my natural state now.
Well, if you hear screaming in the background, my niece has three friends over, so they are all a little loud.
And how old is your niece?
She is 10.
So there's a bunch of 10-year-olds?
Yes, running around.
Girls?
Yes.
Oh, they're not going to be able to hear a word we say on this podcast. Yeah. All they're going to hear are screaming girls.
So bear with us as we get through this. Welcome back. Did you enjoy your trip?
I did.
Good.
Had a nice trip. And one of the best parts is I got to catch up on movies.
Oh.
On the plane.
Okay.
It happens when you spend like 12 hours straight on a plane.
Oh, boy. What did you watch?
So I finally watched Star Trek.
Oh.
And I watched Monsters University.
Okay.
And Cars 2 and Before Midnight.
Oh, see, I still haven't seen that. All right, so pick one and let's talk about it. Or pick, just start with one and let's talk because
yeah,
I want to hear
your... quick. Well, whatever. Like Cars 2 was, I did not appreciate.
Okay.
At all. I'm not a big fan of like Mater.
Yeah.
Whatever. And just the whole movie really more his. I did not appreciate it, but whatever.
Yeah.
That, let's see, Monsters University, cute.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like the first one I like this. I like seeing some of the characters in this prequel. Mm-hmm. Like Roz and stuff, you know, like right. Small cameos kind of almost.
Right.
Kind of thing. Yeah, it was cute. Obviously, like the first one. I like this one. Let's see, Star Trek. It was Star Trek.
Okay, now you liked the first one.
I really liked the first one. I did not like this one nearly as much.
Okay. Well, good. I'm not alone then.
No, it fell flat.
Yeah.
It didn't feel as big.
Yeah.
The Spock thing again.
Yes.
Like, we have been there and done this. Really, we got nothing else. It's only the second movie.
And it was so gratuitous.
No other way to get this out of it. Yeah, it was gratuitous, but it was also, like, just, like, such a cop-out.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it was unnecessary. He could have just kind of figured it out.
Right. It didn't serve any real purpose.
No, it didn't. Except to have Leonard Nimoy in the movie for 10 seconds. That's it.
Right.
So, anyhow, I loved Benedict.
Did you?
But I love him in anything. But yeah, it was good. I mean, it was better than average, but...
Okay. I mean, it looks beautiful. As a beautiful sci-fi action picture.
Yeah.
But as a Star Trek movie, I'm frustrated. Is it?
And I like some of the stuff Zachary did with Spock.
Yeah.
We got to see some emotion out of him. And then also, like, why he doesn't show it. And, like...
Yeah.
That was slightly interesting. It wasn't bad. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad movie or anything, but eh.
I still don't like the Uhura thing because I think she's taking time away from Dr. McCoy, who should be a bigger part of that.
Yeah, and that was part of mine too. And he got some good stuff in this one.
Yeah.
So.
And Before Midnight. Now, this is the third movie.
This is the third. This is Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy. So we had Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight.
Right.
It's the same characters. Yeah. It's this couple we have revisited every 9 years now.
Yeah.
And each movie takes place in like maybe 12 hours.
Okay.
Or so. Like the first one, they were young. They just met like on a train in Europe and he had overnight till he had to catch his plane. So they hung out all night. And then the next one they had like a day, like they were kind of meeting up. And now we get like an afternoon and evening with them.
Okay.
9 years later, I thought Ethan was great in it.
Really?
He really impressed me in this. I like Ethan Hawke, but like I like Ethan Hawke because I fell for him as like a teenager.
Yeah.
When we were both teenagers and he was so cute. He's lost his looks.
Yeah.
He's not that model perfect. He's scruffier.
Haggard.
But,
yeah.
No, I was sincerely impressed with his acting in this. Yeah. And Julie, all out, she's a 40-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And we've known her as like a 20-year-old woman at first. And she's playing a middle-aged mom. And there's two brilliant scenes in it. Now, they helped write this now.
Yes, they and Richard Linklater kind of collaborate.
He wrote the first one, but the second two, like the three of them have gotten together.
Yeah.
So there's two scenes. There's one, they're having a conversation in a car and it's five, 10 minutes, something long, and it's straight through, which is them sitting in a car talking.
Okay.
Kind of thing, which is very cool. There's another one, they're having a fight, they're upset, like they're about to have sex, so she pulls down her top, mm-hmm. and then it's this couple that's been together off and on for, you know, 18 years. Yeah. And they do this fight scene, and she's topless.
Oh, wow.
It's not this gratuitous thing. It's this, they're comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
Like, this is the man she's been with for a while now, not to give spoilers away, but...
Right.
And, you know, this is her partner, and she's just comfortable, whatever, you see my boobs. Now, and massive props as a middle-aged woman to Julie for doing this scene. She doesn't have the body of an 18-year-old anymore.
Right.
She has very uneven boobs, which okay. I also do, and it was so nice to see somebody with them on screen.
It's not perfect, you know, plastic surgery
not
boobs.
Not perfect, plastic, anything, and she did, you know, kick ass in this scene, and she did it topless, which, and it was long, like it was 5 minutes.
Okay.
And like I said, it wasn't sexy and it wasn't gratuitous. Yeah. And props to her for letting her body be seen and not like perfect, you know, laying there with them all stacked just right.
Right.
So anyhow, I loved the other two. I loved the idea of this. I loved the two actors. I love this. And I loved this third one.
So you were satisfied with the story by the time it was over?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's never over also.
No, it's never over, and we still get it. But I think after two, I was somewhat dissatisfied.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, it didn't – I don't know. I felt – I mean, I appreciated the story that they told, but mm-hmm. it just did not feel like there was a button on it. It didn't feel like there was enough there for me to really say they told a complete story.
Yeah, you won't like this one either then, to be okay. honest.
All right.
It's a scene. It's a half a day in these two people's
All
life.
Right. All right.
There is no complete story. There is no complete plot. There is no set ending. There is no nothing. It's a glimpse of somebody's life.
All right.
For half a day.
Because the first one did have a button. And there was a sense of completion to it. I mean, even though it was anticipating what would happen later.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I'm still very interested in seeing it, and I have to.
So the interesting thing about this, because I looked at buying the DVD.
Yep.
For it comes out, like, next week. So you can get the first two for, like, $5 or $6 each.
Yeah, I have them. I have the combined set. Yeah. I actually got it for my parents for something they want as a gift, and then they sent it back to me after they watched them.
So you can get them separate or together for like $10 for both of them kind of thing on Amazon. This, the new one, when it comes out next week, retails for $30 for DVD.
Wow. Well, you can.
I have no idea why.
I'm sure.
I'm like, I'm going to go pre-order it. I'm going to order all three. I'll have the set.
Yeah.
I can get two for $10, but the third one's going to cost me $30.
Well, I'm sure on Amazon Prime, you can get it for like $2.99 or something like that, you know.
To like rent it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've bought a bunch of DVDs again recently.
Yeah.
Because it costs like a dollar more to buy the DVD than
right.
to rent the digital movie.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, anyhow. So, yes, I watched a whole bunch of movies. And I should point out, too, especially with Star Trek, I watched it on a 6-inch screen on the back of somebody else's seat.
Oh, so it wasn't even like a projected... You know, monitor up on top.
No, you get to pick your own movies now on planes
okay.
and stuff.
All
and
right.
it's like in the seat back in front of you. So
yeah.
that may have something to do too with the ad factor, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
That was my entertainment. Movies.
All right. Well, I gotcha. Well, I finally went to the movie. I can't tell you the last time I was at the movies just because I've been so busy. But we opened Shrek this weekend, and it's been nothing but Shrek for the past couple weeks. So we had Saturday night off. The Opera House had booked a much beloved New England comedian to come and do two shows on Saturday night. So we did a morning show yesterday at 11 o'clock, and we had Saturday night off, which was really weird.
Nice.
So my brother and I went to see Gravity. Alfonso Cuarón, George Clooney, and Sandra Bullock. Now, our local theater has what they call an RPX screen, which is not – it's like IMAX light.
Okay.
We're doing it in 3D, and my brother can't stand 3D. It gives him a headache, so we went and saw it on the regular screen.
Yeah, I'm with him.
And it was packed. I mean, honest to God, this place was jam-packed. There was not an empty seat in the house. And all I had been hearing for the past week is what a phenomenal movie this is and how fantastic it is and how revolutionary it is. I liked it. I mean, I'm a big Alfonso Cuarón fan. I mean, going back to E Tu Mamá También, what he did for the Harry Potter franchise with Prisoner of Azkaban. It's a two-person tale in outer space. And at no point do you ever doubt that these people are in outer space. I mean, the visual effects on this are so seamless and so impressive. They're using real NASA footage to composite this. So you're looking at the Earth and the backdrop of, you know, the galaxy around it, and it's just, it's unbelievable, but it is a very claustrophobic tale because it is just two people, and eventually it's just, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's...
No spoilers.
Yes, I don't want to give away anything. It relies on Clooney and Bullock to sometimes act just with themselves.
Yeah.
You know, just screen time alone. And the weird thing is there was a trailer that played before this for a Robert Redford movie that's coming up where it's just the entire movie is Robert Redford on a boat that's sinking. It's just him on a
private
boat.
Oh my God, I still want to see that.
And the whole movie is him. And it has that same type of...
What more do you need? It's Robert Redford. What more do you need?
So it's very intense. This is not a movie for kids, because it deals with very intense emotions. And
I would think they'd just be confused and bored, too.
That's primarily what it is. It is a human drama. It is a very internal drama. It's well worth seeing. But don't buy into the fact that this is the best movie ever made. And I think that's where I was a little bit disappointed, because I kept hearing all these
people. Technically the best movie ever made. Like, as in the technical aspects of movie making.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to garner a bunch of awards, but I don't want anybody to oversell this film, because I think it'll take away from your appreciation of it. And please see this on a big screen. Don't wait until this comes to DVD, or you can rent it on your, you know, iPad or watch it on a laptop. This needs to be seen on a very large screen. And if you have an IMAX theater near you, pay the extra money to see it on IMAX, because it is that visually impressive, immersive. So, there you go.
Okay.
And obviously a lot of people went to see it this weekend because, as the box office shows, it pretty much dominated everything.
Yeah. $44.2 million for Gravity, which is pretty high for this time of year. Captain Phillips came in second, but $26 million.
So I don't know how I missed this. This is basically a Tom Hanks movie with, like, two other people.
It's Tom Hanks. Well, it's a crew, but he plays a captain in a boat that's taken over by, like, pirates, like modern day pirates, not like, you know, Captain Jack pirates.
Right.
Yeah, and there's supposed to be some amazing performances by, like, first time actors.
Okay.
Playing this, so yes, and then we got our kids in there with Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs 2.
Right.
$14.2 million.
Yeah.
And then Machete Kills. I can't say it like normal angle. I gotta say it. Machete.
All right.
Sorry, it's just the way it is. 3.8. Runner, 3.7.
All right.
And The Prisoners is right behind it with 3.6.
Yeah, and I haven't seen any of this stuff. I mean, I've been doing nothing but theater, so I've got to get caught up at some point. Next week at the box office, we've got three movies of note. The remake of Stephen King's classic horror tale, Carrie. I should say telekinetic horror tale. Thriller. Starring Chloe Grace Moretz. Now, did you see the viral video that I think it was Fox had done?
Where
they took this coffee house.
And, I've heard about it. I didn't see the video.
All right. So they took this coffee house and closed it down and set up all of these special effects such that there was going to be a girl sitting at a table who was going to get coffee spilled on by some random guy, and the coffee would spill all over her laptop and she would lose it. She would go out of control and she would unleash these telekinetic powers that would fly this guy up against the wall and drag him up to the ceiling that would, you know, topple tables and books and all this kind of stuff. And they did this a handful of times throughout the day and videotaped people, normal people who were just in there buying coffee. And it's the most hilarious thing.
God.
And it went viral, obviously. I mean, it's all over the internet, so if you get a chance to check it out, it's a lot of fun. But this is how they're trying to sell movies these days.
Yeah, exactly.
By using social media. Another big film that has been talked about for quite some time, The Fifth Estate, starring Benedict Cumberbatch as Julian Assange. This is the WikiLeaks story. But it also stars Peter Capaldi and David Thewlis. So
yes.
Got Doctor Who and Professor Lupin in there.
Right.
Along with Sherlock Holmes.
And, yeah, that's quite a mix.
And Julian has been shooting his mouth off about all sorts of stuff lately and about how Benedict needs to quit acting.
Wrong.
I know.
Ay-yi-yi.
I know. And then the third movie is just pure 80s cheese escape plan in which Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger team up to break out of a maximum security prison.
Nice.
So it's just pure nostalgia. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to pay money to see it.
Yeah.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim, which is basically the live-action Robotech movie that people have been asking for forever. I haven't seen it. Giant robots battling giant monsters. If it's your thing, I'm sure you're going to love it. Speaking of Sandra Bullock, the comedy Heat, The Heat, starring Sandra and Melissa McCarthy as the unlikely buddy cops, female buddy cops. We've got The Untold History of the United States from Oliver Stone, which is basically an adaptation of a very large book. This kind of looks at all of these key moments in history and things that we don't already know or things that haven't been talked about to death in the history books. Star Wars The Clone Wars Season 5, Vikings Season 1, and for John Hughes fans, Weird Science is finally coming to Blu-ray this week. Yeah.
Well, now I'm going to sing your Oingo Boingo all night. Thanks.
Chick can't hold the smoke. On Redbox this week, we've got Will Smith's After Earth, Curse of Chucky, Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing, and I know you were looking forward to this, Kristen Bell's The Lifeguard.
Oh, yeah.
So that's over at your local Redbox. And Redbox is supposed to be coming to PlayStation 3 this fall, and I'm hoping it comes soon. I mean, I have a PS3, and I use Netflix and Hulu a lot, and I would love to have that Redbox instant to be able to access that stuff and having to run down the street to Walgreens to rent something.
But you get that with your instant. You get, like, 4 free rentals or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is cool.
It is cool.
All right, anyhow.
Netflix this week, CW's Arrow, about the adaptation of Green Arrow, Season 1, is available. Kevin Bacon's failed television series, The Following, is on Netflix this week. And then for those of you gearing up for Halloween, because there's only less than 3 weeks until Halloween, Ghostbusters, Evil Dead 2, and Resident Evil are all available on Netflix this week.
Nice.
Same thing over at Hulu. They're jumping on the Halloween bandwagon as well.
Yeah.
Silent Night, Deadly Night, 1 and 2. Scanners, 2 and 3. Elvira's Haunted Hills, if you like your horror comedy. Cassandra Peterson. And then very large breasts. Although I think those are natural. I don't think she paid to have those enhanced.
I don't think so. I think you're right.
And then the documentary Never Sleep Again, which looks back at the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, is available on Hulu this week. And that's what I've got for physical and streaming media.
Okay, well, we've still got a few new shows popping up on TV this week.
All right.
Tuesday, The Biggest Loser is back on NBC. PBS has a brand new special. It's called Superheroes, A Never-Ending Battle.
Oh, I think we got that. I think one of our guys is reviewing that.
Yeah, it's like, but it's going to be airing actually on PBS Tuesday night.
All right.
So if you're a superhero fan, you can get all intellectual about it.
Nice.
And Thursday, CW has a new show. It's called Reign, R-E-I-G-N.
Oh.
It's their answer to like Game of Thrones and stuff.
Oh,
because
boy.
It's Mary, Queen of Scots.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like that is like a teenage drama.
Oh my God.
Like it's set, you know, it's not set modern day or anything.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's on the CW. Come on. So that's the spin they're taking on it.
Alrighty.
And let's see, Thursday, White Collar is also back on USA. And Friday, my mom is going to be so upset.
What?
It's the finale of What Not to Wear on TLC.
Oh.
The actual Forever finale.
Nice.
And that, but Sunday.
Yes.
Bravo.
Yes.
Queer Eye Reunion.
No.
Yeah, going to talk a bunch about, it's like an hour long, but they're going to talk about like the impact of the show. And
wow.
And all that. Yeah, how cool is that? See, you know, what they've all been doing since then. And
yeah.
So, anyhow. Music this week. We had some big ones. Like, you know, biggest of them all, Paul McCartney. His new one is out called New.
Oh, how original.
I know, so creative and inventive there. I hope the song will actually better than the title. And then Pearl Jam has a new one called Lightning Bolt.
Ooh.
And Mr. Willie Nelson.
Oh.
To All the Girls. And it's duets with a whole bunch of great female singers, like Dolly Parton and Miranda Lambert.
Uh-huh.
Nice. One of my favorites, Gavin DeGraw. His new one is called Make a Move. And you American Idol fans, Mr. Scotty McCreery's new one called See You Tonight is out this week.
Nice.
And then we're continuing, which I'll be saying this for the next, what, over 2 months. Christmas!
Oh, boy.
One called A Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
M-E-R-Y, because it is Mary J. Blige.
Well, that could be interesting.
Yeah. That's one that, yeah, I would listen to. I talked about this when it opened, but First Date.
Yeah.
They're releasing the Broadway cast recording.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember, it's Krista Rodriguez, who is on Smash.
Oh.
But also Zachary Levi.
Oh, that's right.
So anyhow, you can get a CD of their lovely voices.
Nice.
Yeah. Books this week. We don't have to say it, but we will say another huge thriller writer, Scott Turow. Mm. His latest called Identical is out. And we have number two in the Wolf Gift Chronicles series, The Wolves of Midwinter by Anne Rice.
Yeah.
Anne Rice. It's her latest. She's moved from, you know, vampires to werewolves. Ooh, don't get too crazy there.
Yeah.
All right. New novel called Actors Anonymous. James Franco.
Oh, boy.
So, what is he? Producer, actor, host.
He drives me crazy.
Writer. So, all right there. Helen Fielding's latest, Bridget Jones, Mad About the Boy, which a huge spoiler has been released and everybody's talking about.
Ooh.
In this latest novel, which we'll see if they make it into another movie.
Okay.
But The Caterpillar Way. It's about the Caterpillar Company.
Hmm.
Lessons in Leadership, Growth, and Shareholder Value.
Wow.
Craig Bouchard and James Koch wrote that one. And then Reed Elbergotti and Vanessa O'Connell wrote Wheelmen, Lance Armstrong, The Tour de France, and The Greatest Sports Conspiracy Ever. Ever, they say.
Wow.
All right. and then we've got, let's see, an autobiography and a couple of biographies. Johnny Carson.
Oh.
By Henry Bushkin. Vivian Leigh, An Intimate Portrait.
Huh.
By Kendra Bean.
Yeah.
And then Orr, My Story by Bobby Orr.
Ah.
All you sports fans out there.
Yeah, hockey fans.
Yep. Theater news. It's off-Broadway, Cherry Lane Theater. It's part of All for One Theater Festival. It just started this past weekend, and it's playing for a week. It is called A Carlin Home Companion, Growing Up with George.
Ooh.
So George Carlin's daughter, Kelly Carlin.
Huh.
It's directed by Paul Provenza.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So, it's her telling of her dad's life, and there's home movies and, you know, all of her personal stories and stuff.
Wow. That could be very interesting.
Yeah. So you got to, you know, run out to New York this week. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's not going to happen for me, but.
So, anyhow.
Yeah.
Carlin fans.
Yeah. Nice.
I want to check that out. I wonder if they're taping it.
I don't know.
I should know. This is my show prop, but you know, like Carrie Fisher did.
Yeah. Well, he was.
Let's see.
He was such an institution on HBO with all of his specials. Mm-hmm. I hope to God they would do something like that.
Or not if she tours with it and stuff now. Yeah. So, anyhow.
All right. So, as we move on to news, something that just broke today, crazy fan pressure has caused actor Charlie Hunnam to rescind his commitment to the film adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay, now, that's not the actual story they're saying.
The official reasoning given is it's scheduling conflicts with his series Sons of Anarchy. And if you buy that, I have some swamp
land. Which they didn't figure that out before.
Exactly.
All of a sudden,
Yeah. Well, Focus Features, which is producing the film, just went through a giant change at the top, an executive change. And I don't doubt for a minute that they said, you know what, we're going to fix this. So to make people happy. They have not. There are rumors of who might be, but it's all speculation. So I assume within the next week that they will jump on this and say who they're replacing him with.
Okay. How much money are you going to lay on this on Ian Somerhalder?
That would be interesting.
It's got to have the good eyes. If he doesn't have the good eyes, he cannot play Christian Grey.
Well, and Vampire Diaries is still hot on the CW.
Yeah. I don't think Matt.
No.
We'll get it. I think we're past that. I mean, I think he'd be good in it. I don't know if he'd even want to do it. I doubt it. Yeah. But anyhow, I'm laying my bets.
Well, you know, we just talked about theater. Did we talk about the fact that they're doing American Psycho on Broadway?
I don't know. You want to remember what I said like a month ago?
I don't. But anyways, Matt Smith is starring as Patrick Bateman in American Psycho.
Yes.
The theater adaptation. So, some big stuff is happening in and around. If we want to talk about Doctor Who as a lead-in, two Patrick Troughton episode arcs of Doctor Who from the 60s, Enemy of the World and Web of Fear, have been found in Africa.
I know. This is crazy.
So, back in the day...
This is an insane story. Like, you couldn't make this shit up.
No. They used to take... BBC masters make new negatives of these shows and then send them out to various international locations, you know, broadcast centers, so that they could play them. So one of the BBC production people was at this little, I don't know, was it a warehouse or what? But anyways, he was going through a bunch of stuff and uncovered these two canisters that said Doctor Who on it. And he pretty much had a heart attack. Because in there were these complete episode arcs of shows that people had long assumed had just been lost.
Right. Because when they made these shows, they didn't realize it was going to be what it ended up being.
Absolutely.
This cultural phenomenon that we'd want to see them.
Right.
30 years later.
Yep.
So they didn't take care of them.
No.
They recorded over, trashed stuff.
Yep. So they cleaned them up. They're now available on iTunes for download, but BBC will no doubt be putting their special edition DVD releases together for sometime in 2014.
Yeah.
And one of these especially is important because it's the first episode of Nicholas Courtney's General Lethbridge Stewart character, who was a huge part of the series. You know, even his daughter showed up in a Matt Smith episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, it's very big news for Doctor Who and perfectly timed for their 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx and Oliver Stone are in the early stages of collaboration on a Martin Luther King biopic on the heels of the 50th anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech.
Mm-hmm.
ABC has given Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a full season commitment. Now, I know you said that you off air, you just have gotten caught up. On this,
I watched the first one.
Okay. And?
And it was okay.
All right. It does get better.
Blown away. I didn't find, like, I caught the kind of jokes and stuff, but I didn't laugh at them really. And I don't know. Is there a likable character in this thing?
Well, I mean, Phil Coulson is a likable character, obviously.
In a way.
This team we're now on, this week will be episode 4. I've watched the first three. They're starting to congeal. You're starting to see the relationships develop. And they're starting to get, the stories are starting to get more interesting. So I'm curious to see just how much further they're going to take it, because they actually did an origin story for a Marvel villain this past week. And not a big villain, but one that, you know, has been around.
Yeah, so that's going to be the interesting thing. They're going to go find all these kind of secondary characters and make them primary.
Right.
For this show, at least. Yeah.
So, I mean, Disney owns ABC, so it's not a big surprise that they're going to give it a commitment, because this is one of their tentpole shows for the season. But I really hope that the writing staff does not hold back and allows themselves just to go as crazy as they want to with this, because it's that type of series.
Yeah, it's nice when you know you're coming back.
Yeah.
Then you can decide what you do. Sleepy Hollow.
Ah, yes.
Got renewed.
It did.
For like a second. Not just like got a full season, got it like a second season.
And it's guilty pleasure television. I watched the first three episodes of that.
I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. And it's very cheesy over the top, but there's something about it that's intensely likable.
But this humor I actually like smile at.
That's true.
The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there was like those humorous lines I went, this one I actually like giggle at.
Well, and that has to do with the chemistry between your two leads and then Orlando Jones, who's playing the captain of the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So that really works. NBC has also given a full season commitment to The Blacklist, and Fox has greenlit The Simpsons for a 26th season.
Sheesh, Louise.
Yeah, which means...
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because a lot of times this comes down to contract negotiations with the cast.
And
they must be giving them whatever they want.
Yeah.
During an industry keynote address in Cannes, France, Jeffrey Katzenberg announced that DreamWorks is planning to reboot Voltron, He-Man, and Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yes.
Likening their purchase of Sony's classic media library to that of Disney buying Marvel Comics. I don't know if I would go that far, but...
Oh, yeah, let's... Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all these huge superheroes and Moose and Squirrel are not the same thing.
By the power of Grayskull. David Letterman has renewed his contract with CBS through 2015, and the axe has fallen on CBS's We Are Men and ABC's Lucky Seven, the first two casualties of the fall 2013.
Yeah, they each got like two episodes.
Yeah, yeah. And it's too bad, because We Are Men was Tony Shalhoub's show.
Yeah, and Jerry O'Connell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, it's too bad.
One final story. LACMA, which is the L.A. County Museum of Art, for years they've been doing this stage reading series where Jason Reitman gets a bunch of his friends together to read screenplays on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the invitations I've gotten, and I think we actually got press passes at one point when you were out there, and we did something else came up and we couldn't go. Anyways, this past week they did Boogie Nights.
Nice.
And Taylor Lautner did Dirk Diggler.
Nice.
So that was kind of the hot ticket in L.A. this past weekend.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right, that's all I've got for news.
Okay. Well, do I even have to say the Kardashian news?
No, because it's kind of plastered everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Anyhow, yeah. Bruce and Chris are separated, but they're not filing for divorce. They're not blah, blah, blah. And we actually knew this. This really isn't news.
Okay.
Because we knew this summer he was like living in the Malibu house. Like this has been talked about all summer.
All right.
And it was just one of those like, he likes it out there. He's hanging out there for the summer. Well, anyhow, they released an actual statement saying they've separated.
Yeah.
So of course all the news stories, especially TMZ, if you want a chronicle of this, go to TMZ.
Okay.
But so Bruce has like four older kids.
From a previous marriage.
From two previous marriages.
Two previous marriages. One of which was...
Two kids with each of his ex-wives and then, you know, Chris.
And Brody Jenner, who was on The Hills with Conrad and all those people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So anyhow, though, so Brody and his brother are like the middle kind of kids. All these stories come out that they're really happy because they blamed Chris that they didn't really get to see their dad. Their dad wasn't there for them growing up because he was taking care of Chris's kids.
Okay.
instead of his own. All right. Anyhow, so the story comes out. They're really happy. They're hanging with their dad all the time now. Blah, 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 blah. So what immediately is Chris like Instagramming and tweeting? A picture of her and Bruce and his kids all happy together.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So anyhow, we'll see what actually happens with this if they get divorced or whatever. They're like different people. They're kind of doing their own thing.
Well, I mean, she is a barracuda, mm-hmm. and pretty much dictates how he lives his life.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing about this is he's living in the Malibu house, which if you know the geography of Los Angeles, Malibu is just down the hill from Calabasas where the Kardashian house is.
Right.
So it's not like he's moved to the other side of the country or something.
Right. And they own obviously more than one house. He's staying in one, she's staying in the other most of the time.
Yeah.
Whatever. So anyhow, that's the huge news. Again.
And they couldn't possibly be doing this for ratings for the show, could they?
Oh, no. What do you mean?
Uh-huh.
No, I actually don't think they are. I think it's finally got sick for shit.
All right.
Like, I don't want to, live in the same house as you.
All right.
So anyhow, they are filming the show now. It will be addressed in the next season, if you care.
Of course it will. All right.
We all do, because I'm here talking about it.
Yeah. Hey, do we have a contest this week?
We do. Vikings, season one,
Ooh.
History Channel show.
All right.
Yes.
Very nice.
Very nice. So.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, thank you for reading our reviews at DVD Verdict. I know we've been a little quiet this past week. It's only because I have not been around, although we have launched the beta version of Daily Verdict, which is our new news blog, which will cover industry stuff as it happens. We'll get back to covering television and movies like we used to with TV and Cinema Verdict. And there'll be a whole bunch of other stuff happening over there. You can find all our podcasts over there now. And it's going to be the hot new place to be, baby.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. And until next week, Melissa, and take it away.
Whose goodbye you swear would never come, and in my goodbye, you're finding none.